and welcome to the Environment Show. I almost forgot what show it is. The Environment Show on Radio Reverb, Brighton and Hove's community radio station, 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, and streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. And on the show this week, we're going to be having our regular monthly organic gardening tips from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group with Ruth Urbanowitz and Maus Dismore, who are...
Hello.
Oh, hang on, not yet. No.
Hello. Oh,
they're not doing it. They're not doing it now.
Hello.
Maus and Ruth, how are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to see some warm sunshine.
It certainly
Isn't it
is.
Lovely.
Yes. Oh, and Maus, you've been seeing quite a bit of warm sunshine lately because you've been away on holiday.
I have, yes.
And was it nice?
It was, yes. We went to Belize and it was, and did a lot of snorkelling out on the islands.
Right.
It's got the second largest barrier reef in the world. Australia's got the biggest one.
But Belize has the second biggest one. I didn't know that.
Mm.
Very interesting. We'd love to hear all about Belize, but no. Unless if you can fit in any sort of environmental things about Belize, please do.
But not specifically.
Right. We're very glad to have you both here in the studio again for the organic gardening tips, since you're both in the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group. And we're also going to hear about Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group news. But... also on the show, I'm going to be talking to Matt Cook, who is the chairman of the Friends of the Level, which is a Friends of a Park group, of which there are quite a number here in Brighton and Hove, community groups set up to mobilise the local community in support of their local park. And there are plans afoot to redevelop the level. The Friends of the Level have been involved in consultations, and they are concerned about the plans for the level, but we're going to hear about all of that in a minute. And then, as I said later on, also the organic gardening tips for the month of, what is it going to be, March?
March.
And also on the show, we're going to have some music from Brighton and Hove and beyond. That's going to be between now and about 5 to 6. But let's start off talking to Matt Cook, the chair of the Friends of the Level, one of the many Friends of Parks groups here in Brighton and Hove. And I'm talking to Matt Cook, who's come to the Radio Reverb studio to tell us about the Friends of the Level. Matt, hello.
Hello.
Thanks very much for coming to the studio. You're involved with the Friends of the Level, I believe.
Yes, I'm recently appointed chair of the Friends of the Level. We really are about at the moment. The reason I'm here today is to talk about the consultation which is going on at the moment. Over the last few years, the Parks Projects, which is a council-run team, have been developing plans for the redevelopment of the level. They are going for the Heritage Lottery Fund and are hoping to raise over £1 million to redevelop the level. The consultation itself, the public consultation, is out at the moment. It began on the 1st of March and will continue through till the end of March. What I'm really here to talk about is the two options in that consultation, and how one of them is jeopardising the open space of the level. Now, there was a consultation that happened in 2009 that went out to around about 1,500 houses in the area. Around about 380, I think, replied. And of that 380, 57%... agreed to a question saying, would you like the skate park moved? So 57% of 300 said yes, but with no particular area in mind of where it might be moved to. On that basis, after a lot of wrangling, the Parks Projects were about to launch a plan which involved moving the skate park from its current location into the northern sector onto the green. It met with a lot of opposition, and a petition was started up by the Level Green campaign. And almost immediately, the Parks Projects decided they would have to go back to consultation. And from then on in, there's been a lot of wrangling, to and froing, a lot of very, a lot of very heated meetings with the Friends of Lever and with the council representatives from the parks projects. It's felt very strongly that the level itself is the open space is heritage. It was given over to the people many years ago, and it seems a little bit ludicrous to some that the parks projects would be going to trying for a heritage lottery bid with an option which encroaches onto natural heritage.
So that was Matt Cook, the chair of the Friends of the Level community group, one of our many Friends of Parks groups here in Brighton and Hove. And I will talk to him on the show a little bit more about how you can get in touch with the Friends of the Level, or give your views about the proposed redevelopment of the Level, one of our major open spaces here in Brighton and Hove. But before that, let's have a tune from a great Brighton and Hove band. One of them is from Colombia in South America, and you may be able to guess what it's going to be, because I do tend to play them every now and then, possibly more than that. But it's very good, and it's quite jolly. They're called Polito Boogaloo, and this is their wonderful song, El Presidente.
Alelole, lelole la, alelole, lelola o. Que yo le canto, presidente, pa' que te baile este son. Que yo le canto, presidente, pa' que te baile este son. Este son lo traigo yo, se lo canto de corazón. Este son lo traigo yo, se lo canto de corazón. Yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá. La puerta abierta y la llave la conocí. Él entró por la puerta abierta y la llave la conocí. Yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá, yo le canto mamá. Mamá le canto yo.
That was the marvellous Polito Boogaloo with their song El Presidente. They're from Brighton and Hove. They have a MySpace, which is myspace.com/POLLITOBOGALOO. Oh dear, and the computer is going very well, very funny at the moment. Oops. Well, anyway, however, before that, I was talking to Matt Cook, the chair of the Friends of the Level, Friends of Park group, who are friends of the Level Park, which, as we all know, is right in the middle of Brighton, sort of just up from St. Peter's Church towards Lewes. It's between the Lewes Road and the London Road. We were talking about how the Friends of the Level are concerned about the proposed redevelopment of the level, and are asking people to give their views in the consultation that the council is currently carrying out until the end of March. So we talked some more about the Friends of the Level and that sort of thing.
There are a lot of people on the Friends of the Level that represent other groups in the area.
Is that so? So the people who come along to the Friends of the Level are they officially representing those groups? Do they come along and say, well, our group says this?
Yes.
Right. Well, you see, then that gives them more weight than simply being one person. Because
The tricky thing, of course, with these community groups is that it's very, very difficult to organise, and it is people's spare time, it's voluntary time, and it's people that really care.
Yes.
Or people that actually get to hear about it. There's so much that goes on in this city and so much that goes on in that area.
Yes.
That people who are the Friends of the Level.
Yes. It is strange because, obviously at some times, the council can say that, a particular group, they will listen to them, maybe there might be many people, but those people are interested, knowledgeable and concerned. And so that, in a way, gives a bit more weight than, say, simply, a group of random individuals who might, just have an opinion. And which obviously is important, everybody, the park is there for everybody. That's the point, surely, that every single person in Brighton and Hove and visitors can go there and get fresh air, recreation, relaxation, in a green space. And it's there, to provide a bit of greenery. Other people can look at it and think how nice it is. Also, it's the great repository of the elm tree heritage of England.
Indeed.
It's one of the biggest clumps of elm trees in England, due to the foresighted policies of Brighton Council, it has to be said, back in whenever it was, in the Dutch elm crisis. However, I'm losing track now.
I would like to say, the level really does need a good bit of money. It needs a facelift, and we really, really want to see some good money spent on it, because I personally think it's one of the most undervalued spaces in Brighton. And I think it would be a wonderful thing to see it regenerated, new facilities, right the way across. The plans for the water features and the sensory garden and a new cafe and a brand new skate park. We support the skaters, absolutely. But the skate park's almost heritage itself. It's been there for over 25 years. But as I say, it just seems ludicrous that the council would put in a proposal, one of the options being to build on that northern end. That's about all about every little thing I can say about it.
Well,
really,
that's absolutely brilliant.
If people do want to find out more, they can have a look at the Friends of the Level website.
Go on.
If anybody is interested in finding out more about the Friends of the Level, then they can go online and find out more at www.friendsofthelevel.info. There is also the petition. If people are interested in signing up to the petition to keep the level green, then they can look at keepthelevelgreen.wordpress.com.
So, thanks very much to Matt Cook, the chair of the Friends of the Level group. Community group based here in Brighton and Hove, a community group set up to support and look after the Level Park, which is of course in the centre of Brighton. And if you found that interesting, tune in again to Radio Reverb on Thursday morning around about 8:30 to hear a longer version of that interview, because we talk more about all the issues about the redevelopment of the level and the use of green spaces and the views of the Friends of the Level group. So stay tuned to the Environment Show here on Radio Reverb also for your regular monthly organic gardening tips with Mouse and Ruth from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group, which will be coming up after another song from wonderful Brighton and Hove singer-songwriter Sharon Lewis. This one was recorded here at the Radio Reverb studio, and this is called When the River Flows.
No, we can't be together. Loving's just loving. Love. loving for nothing. You are still you, and I am still me. I still have this heart, and I still can feel. I want you. Just loving doesn't mean it's meant to be. Some people they lose their minds. Well, I've lost mine before, but I've learned to go.
That was Sharon Lewis from here in Brighton and Hove with her song When the River Flows. You can hear more of her music at www.myspace.com/SharonLewis, SHARONLEWIS. And she also has her own website, which is www.SharonLewis.net. So this is the Environment Show on Radio Reverb, Brighton and Hove's community radio station. 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, and streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. And I'm very pleased to welcome back to the studio Mouse Dismore and Ruth Urbanowitz from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group. So, thanks very much for coming to the studio again, and what have we got this month?
Well, spring has sprung.
Yes.
The grass has risen.
I wonder where the birdies is.
The birdie's on the wing.
That's absurd. The wing is on the bird.
I can remember my mum used to say that to me when I was a small child.
I don't remember where I learnt it, but I've known it since I was a small child.
Yes.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes.
Who shall go first?
You.
Okay. Well, I did actually get out on my plot for a decent length work session on Sunday, for the first time really this year, because the weather was pleasant for the first time for ages. And so I've been clearing my beds, I've been emptying my compost bin contents onto or into my beds, sprinkling a bit of fertiliser, a bit of seaweed meal, and some 6X, which is that concentrated, it's like concentrated and handlable manure.
It's cow manure, isn't it?
No, it's chicken manure.
Chicken manure.
Chicken manure, yeah. But it's got all the trace elements in it.
Oh, right, I thought it used to be cow manure.
And and filling up my compost bins, but not with weeds, not with weeds that are going to seed. I put those in somewhere separate because I've just had too many years of successful weed seedlings.
Mm.
And I shall be getting my hoe out, and just a stale bed is a very useful thing. It's what they call a bed where you've actually cleared it off, and then you just leave it for a couple of weeks. And if the weather's like this, then lots of seeds will germinate, weed seeds, and you just hoe them off. And then most of the seeds will have germinated and you'll have got rid of the little plantlets, so that when you actually get down to sowing your veggies, there won't be so much competition.
Provided you don't dig it over again and let any more seeds up from underneath.
That's true, yeah, that's true. So, and also I shall be putting some cloches on, in order to warm the soil up to start sowing in a couple of weeks. And I got my early spuds in.
Well done, that woman.
Yes.
I'm not sure when I'll get mine. I've only just put some plastic over the ground where they've got to go, so it'll be another couple of weeks yet before I put mine in.
So, for people who aren't expert gardeners, what's a cloche?
A cloche is a covering of either plastic or glass, although the glass ones are a bit out of fashion these days. You can get rigid plastic ones pre-moulded, or you can get metal hoops that you slide kind of a sleeve of clear PVC. is it PVC? I guess it is, isn't it? So, yeah, over. And it just, it keeps the rain off. And you, they have ends on them, you put an end on. So it stops the wind whistling through. So it forms a microclimate, basically. And because it's cold, because it's wet soil that gets coldest, then if the soil's a bit dried off, then it's not going to get so frosted. And then you can sow your seeds under there in 2 or 3 weeks' time, and they'll have a bit more warmth to start. It's a lot of it is about the wind chill factor, actually, because there's been some very chilly winds this last week, haven't there? Northeast Siberian winds.
It's been one of those occasions when if you're standing in the sun and out of the wind, it's lovely, absolutely gorgeous. And if you're in the wind and out of the sun, it's really cold.
Oh, don't dig your soil if it's frosty. So if you get up really early in the morning and you go and you think, oh, it's lovely and bracing, I'll dig. If there's any sign of frost on it, don't, because obviously once that's turned over, it's going to take ages to defrost. But the soil was in beautiful heart, actually.
It was a glorious texture,
wasn't it?
Really, really friable. Not too wet. It's not claggy anymore.
No.
Because we've had quite a dry winter.
Not claggy, a wonderful gardening term.
Yes, make sure your soil is not claggy.
Very technical.
But you're more likely to get claggy soil on clay, by the way. So if you're in Hove, actually, then you're much more likely to have clagginess after rain.
The chalk soils in Brighton do dry out quicker than than the clays down in Hove.
Yeah.
So with these cloches, the plastic sheeting, the clear plastic sheeting, or the solid plastic thing, but if you're going to make one out of clear plastic sheeting, which is probably cheapest, using hoops, it's probably a good idea to use quite strong, thick, clear plastic.
You can get ready-made ones. Yes,
oh, really?
Yes, but you can get ready-made ones.
Right.
I bought some from a famous retail outlet about 10 years ago. And there's half a dozen, and I think it might have been £20, but there were half a dozen in there, and it's lasted me, I would think, about 10 years. And you get the hoops, and you get the plastic sleeves to slide
all,
over.
Already
it.
Made,
yeah.
And so, but you know, if you
and then you can store them flat over winter.
If you were an ingenious and handy person, you could probably make your own hoops.
Yes, you would need very strong. Yeah. One year I did get some of those cheapy ones from the pound shop, but actually, because it's often very windy in March, they were torn to shreds in no
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. So you want really good thick, strong plastic.
Clear.
I have kept the wire from those, though, and then put stronger plastic over the top.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Right.
Well, I've got this really good. When we moved into our house, only 18 years ago, I inherited some coils of really strong fencing wire that were hung up in the shed by the previous owners, and I'm still using those. And just, I've made really big cloches, sort of, you know, a metre wide and a metre high, and cover them with heavy-grade polythene. And then you can leave stuff under it for ages because they've got room to grow.
Mm. Right.
And you must always pin the edges down very firmly if you do something like that, because they'll, you know, once the wind gets under the edges, they'll flap around. In fact, you can even put a layer of soil over the actual edge that's on the soil, but you need to pin it as well.
I'm sure I've seen one of these things up at Stanmer Park at the, you know, the Permaculture Trust place.
Yes.
And they had their material, instead of plastic sheeting, they had this kind of
enviro mesh
stuff,
which keeps the insects off, only kind of
semi-see-through, but it was still woven. I mean,
that's actually better for the plants because it does cut the wind down enormously, but the moisture can get both in and out, and you can get, you know, gaseous exchange in and out as well.
And even though it does look like, you know, it's going to cut out a bit of the light, presumably it lets enough light through to let the plants grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And where would you get some enviro mesh from? From a garden
centre? Do you know, they sell it at that. They, yes, you can, and they even sell it at the allotment shop on my site.
Do they?
Which really surprised me. That's Rodale Valley allotment shop, which is open on a Saturday morning until about 11:30, from about 9:30, but only for about half an hour on a Sunday morning, I think from 9 till 9:30. But you do have to join the allotment society, but it's only £2.50 for a year.
But
it's
if you're lucky enough to have an allotment, then presumably you can join your local allotment society and then go to the allotment shop, because there was one on the...
there's one at the Weald, big one on the Weald that's very, very well stocked, and I'm sure there's
one at camp, but I hardly ever go to it because I'm never down there on a Friday or a Saturday morning. So.
Right.
which is when it's open.
Ah. And I know there's some out at Patcham, the Patcham allotments.
And there was one at Lower Rodale, which of course is higher than Lower Rodale. Yes. But anyway, so check if you haven't got an allotment. But if you haven't got an allotment, you've got a garden. Well, I don't know. Try.
You can actually join the allotment society even if you've got a garden, so that you can then go and benefit from.
Right. I didn't know that.
So, certainly at mine. I don't know if that's true of all of them.
It might be worth trying your local garden centre or, bit large DIY chain with the garden bit in it.
Yeah.
Apparently, the government has changed the law and product placement is now going to be allowed in the media.
Yes.
But I'm not sure whether community radio, whether we might still not be allowed to do product placement. But but for information purposes, you know, I think we can say that, you know, by someone like B&Q is a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, not that we recommend that, and there are other garden centres available. And there's loads of them.
Actually, there aren't loads.
Well, there's the one at the race course.
That's the only one.
That used to be Wyvale, but it's changed its name now.
Okay.
But there aren't any others, really, are there, in Brighton and Hove?
No, I mean, you've got to go out to Hassocks to South Downs, or... There is a new one that's opened up in Shoreham Road.
Oh, where's that?
But I haven't been there yet, so I can't comment on it.
It's very difficult for people without transport, actually.
Absolutely,
yes, very difficult.
Right. Well, okay, sorry. What's next?
So what have you been doing in your garden this week, Mouse?
These last few days I have mostly been splitting perennials because I'm moving house, so I've got to dig them all up, split them, replant half and pot up the other half to take with me. And luckily it's exactly the right time of year to use that, for which I'm inordinately grateful. Basically, what you do is, if you've got perennials, I mean, you'll find that most of them tend to form clumps, which means that you can actually split them and take various bits of them. You can split them almost indefinitely. It's quite fractal, really, until you end up with a whole load of little tiny plants. But generally, you just divide them into maybe two or four pieces, depending on how big they are. And the traditional way of doing it is that you put two garden forks in back to back and then force them apart. But I've found that I tried that the other day, and in fact, all it did was break off all the new growth and left.
Oh no!
Leave the roots where they were. So I wouldn't recommend it for particularly the things that go up with quite soft, brittle stems like daylilies and things like that. Don't do it with your daylilies. What I did in the end was got an old pruning saw.
I was going to say saw
and just sawed the clump in half.
Yeah,
and that worked a lot better. It did a lot less damage in the end, but.
You don't have to have a pruning saw. Any old saw will do, actually.
Well, no,
a bread knife.
I always used to use a freezer knife, but I couldn't find the freezer knife, so I had to use a pruning saw. And it did actually work better because it's a bit tougher.
Right.
But, yeah.
Pruning saws are very handy things. Is that the little kind of folding one, like a pen knife?
Yes.
And it's about sort of 8 inches long when it's folded up, and then you open it up, and then it becomes 16 inches long.
Yeah.
And it's got a very nice, handy little blade.
Yeah,
and you can saw through all kinds of things,
yes.
Big bits of wood even.
Yes.
Thing to remember with pruning saws is when you're sawing carpentry-type wood, you put the pressure on a downward stroke, the stroke away from you. When you're using a pruning saw, you actually use the energy on the pulling stroke that they're coming back up
towards you. I didn't know that.
I'd heard that, yes. And it's like just the teeth are angled the opposite way around. So the cutting edge is pulling instead of pushing.
Yeah. And talking of pruning, it's time, if you haven't finished your pruning, then finish it swiftly on things like apples and pears. In fact, all fruits except for stone fruit, cherries, plums, things like that, because you must never prune those until the summer because they get diseased too easily. And also, if you're anything that's going to flower on the current year's growth,
new growth. So things like
buddleias and stuff like that, things that flower basically after midsummer. I only recently chopped down my autumn fruiting raspberries, so it's not too late to get away with it.
I haven't done mine yet.
And oh, and roses you can prune now.
Yes,
yep. Roses. And also dogwoods and willows that have beautifully coloured stems, and you grow those for kind of winter stem colour. You chop those right down. It's not like coppicing. You chop those right down to about an inch above the ground.
I put in some, what do you call them, tree mallows. They're kind of seen as a weed. And I had them before. And, you know, when I used to prune them down, they were very sort of well-behaved and they grew to about, you know...
They give quite a lot of colour late in the season.
Yes, 4 or 5 feet high. But but this year I've tended to neglected them and they've turned into huge trees almost. I mean, the name clue is in the name, tree mallow.
Yes.
But they've become enormous. The stems are about 3 inches across.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with them? But once before, when I didn't realise, I kind of cut them right back to the sort of right back to the soil level, thinking they'd grow back, and of course it didn't. So I'm hoping that this year, if I do that again,
to leave a little node where you can see with anything where you can see some growth coming.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're very nice. They're kind of a riot of pink flowers in the summer, which lasts well into the autumn. They're very very nice, but as
long season of flowering.
You must keep them under control, otherwise they've taken over my garden now.
Hmm. Oh, and on the planting thing, we need, if you want to plant any bare-rooted trees or shrubs, which includes fruit trees and fruit bushes...
You haven't got much time left.
No, you need to get it done now before anything starts to spring into leaf. They're just about still dormant, but you've probably only got a week or two left.
It's the same as with the pruning. If they're still dormant, you can do it. If they're not, then it's a bit too late.
Mm. It's a bit late for grapevines, but I only did mine a week ago, so it's... It's better to do it than not to do it, as long as you can do it very, very swiftly. And make sure there's no birds nesting in anything
you
that
took
you
the
are.
Words
sorry.
Out of my mouth. Yeah. Do check.
Yes.
Would it be all right to play some music now? Just a little tune?
No, we won't
keep
talking.
No. Surely we can pause for a tune.
Go on.
Okay, right. Speaking of birds nesting, I've got the ideal thing, a band called Sparrow. or two members of a band called Sparrow, Ali and Bryn.
Species placement.
Exactly. Sparrows are endangered. There are less and less sparrows. They're one of the birds that are having it harder and harder.
Mm. People think they're still here because they see dunnocks, but... Dunnocks ain't sparrows.
Dunnocks ain't sparrows, right. There used to be a family of sparrows lived in my little garden, and they would wake me up in the morning with their loud tweeting.
Chirping.
Yep, but they've just gone now. So at least my ones have gone. They might have gone to live somewhere else, but...
You don't see them around. They were as common as sparrows when I was a kid.
Exactly.
But now you hardly ever see them.
Yep. Apparently, like the cockney sparrow, as you know, that what we heard of in the past,
chirpy cockney sparrow,
who were actually this sort of a nickname for people. But the cockney people apparently used to all go on holiday to Kent in the summer.
Hot picking,
yes. Well, apparently, urban sparrows, do just the same thing. They go off on holiday in the summer to get wheat that's left after harvesting.
Right.
So basically, if they live in your garden, they will go off for a month or so to harvest, clean up after the harvesting, and then they will all come back. So they're just very similar. Anyway, enough of that. Here is Ali and Bryn from Sparrow with a song called Pure Imagination, apparently originally in a film. So, Ali and Bryn from Sparrow, what are you going to play this time?
This one's called Pure Imagination.
Fantastic.
There is no life I know that compares with pure imagination. What we'll see will defy explanation. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in. Around and view it. And if There is no life I know that compares with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do, want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
That was Ali and Bryn from marvellous Brighton and Hove band Sparrow with Pure Imagination. And I'm sure they said that someone said that was in sort of, was it Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, sung by Gene Wilder originally. But Sparrow are a great band from Brighton and Hove, and there are four of them, and when they all get together, they rock. And in all possible ways, you can hear their band music at myspace.com/Sparrow Brighton, and you can see them playing live on the 24th of March at the Latest Music Bar at a Martlet's Hospice fundraising gig. You can also see them acoustically at the Prince Albert on Trafalgar Street on the 29th of March. That's all. Information is all at www.myspace.com/Sparrow Brighton. And this is The Environment Show on Radio Reverb, your community radio station for Brighton and Hove, 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, and streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. And I'm joined in the studio with Mouse and Ruth from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group. And we've been hearing our regular monthly organic gardening tips, this time for the month of March. Mouse and Ruth, what else have you got for us? Well, we mustn't forget Spring into Action, one of your Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group events.
Okay, we'll do that now, because we've got an event this Friday called Spring into Action, all you ever wanted to know about organic vegetable growing, but were afraid to ask. And you can bring soil samples to test if you like, and there will be organic fertilisers for sale at cost price to BOG members. But it's free to come to if you're not a BOG member. No, we do ask for a donation if you're not a BOG member, or you can come and join on the evening. And it will be partly a practical workshop. It's aimed very much at beginners, those who are just maybe have just got an allotment this last season, don't really know what to do, what to sow when, what to sow where, how much space it takes up, all that kind of stuff. It's a getting down and dirty really workshop.
Be prepared to leave the room with dirt under your fingernails. Yes. Or at least compost.
Yes, you will be able to take away seedlings or a little pot with seeds sown in it or whatever. Oh bother, I meant to get some leek seeds and I didn't, so I must get some tomorrow. Okay, because leeks are a good thing to sow at this time of the year, aren't they? We were just talking about harvesting leeks as well.
Yeah.
So do come to that. It's at the Phoenix Community Centre on Friday evening, March the 11th, from 7:30 till 9:30 approximately. And the Phoenix Community Centre is quite close to the level that was being discussed earlier. There's a map how to get there on the BOG website. And the BOG website address is www.bog, that's B-H-O-G-G, .org. Okay.
Fantastic.
Mouse.
I've got a list of things that you can sow at this time of the year that you can start sowing. If you've got a propagator or a warm windowsill, you can start on your Mediterranean veg, your tomatoes and peppers and aubergines, cucumbers, and half-hardy annuals and half-hardy perennials. If you haven't, but you've got cold glass like a cloche or a cold frame, then you've got loads of stuff, brassicas and hardy annuals and perennials, lettuce, chard, celeriac, celery. Notice they're in alphabetical order. OCD? No. And outside, with no protection at all, you can sow broad beans and onions, shallots, parsnips, leeks, early peas, and hardy annuals and hardy perennials. If you've got a greenhouse, then you'll probably have some stuff overwintering in it. So any shrubs that you've got overwintering, like salvias, cut them back to where they start to a growth point where they're starting to put out side shoots. Cut just above that. And by next month, your side shoots will be big enough to actually start taking soft cuttings to propagate them with. And check for aphids. They're there already. You can either use soft soap or one of those type of, what do they call it? Fatty acid things to spray on them that smother them. Or you can just very gently squash them with your fingers. Does sound odd, very gently squash, but...
The aphid doesn't see it as gentle, no.
They are quite fragile, but if you don't do it very gently, you squash the plants as well. I find that if I use the soft soap ones, I quite often then get mould growing on the soft soap, so I tend to go for the very gently squashing. It's too early yet to actually put in any predators, things like aphidias, which is the ideal thing, because then they do all the work for you, but it's a little bit early in the year yet for them. I think next month you can. And things like cannas and dahlias that you've been overwintering dry and start them into growth, you can start just watering them first, and then when the shoots come through, then you can add a bit of fertiliser, like a seaweed fertiliser, to give them a bit of boost to get going. And dahlias then, once they've made good strong shoots, you can take cuttings, but that'll be next month. That's basically, I think, most of the stuff you can be doing in the greenhouse at the moment. Oh, if you've got cuttings that have overwintered all around the edge of a pot, take them out, pot them on, so they can get some decent sort of compost with nutrients in and space to start putting out new roots.
Can I just do a couple of other things from events?
Of course.
Because I've just spotted on our Bog newsletter that Brighton Permaculture Trust on April the 2nd and 3rd are running a course, and you can have a look at Brighton Permaculture Trust website, which is just brightonpermaculture.org.uk. There's also Brighton and Hove Allotment Federation AGM on Wednesday, March the 29th at 6:30 for a 7 p.m. start, and that's at Hove Town Hall. There's this wonderful place called The Garden House, but run by a very excellent horticulturalist called Bridget Saunders. It's her own home. It's 5 Worley Road in Brighton, which is quite close to the centre. And their open day is Friday, March the 18th from 3 till 6 p.m. And then there's also Charleston Mini Garden Festival, which is March the 31st to April the 3rd. And that includes Dan Pearson, Home Ground, a talk at the Friends Meeting House in Brighton on March the 31st at 7 p.m, costing £15. And that's www.charleston.org.uk. Now, I'm going to leave this with Donald, and I guess he'll probably put these things up on his website for you to see.
I will.
Thank you, Donald.
As there will be a link to the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group website as well, so people can click on there, they can find out how to join, which is very reasonable, and also they can find out all about your event with the map of how to get there.
Righty-ho. Excellent.
Wonderful.
Okay, have we got anything else that we haven't covered at all? I swear I sowed my sweet peas yesterday. I know it's very late for sweet peas. I did soak them before I sowed them, and I've sowed them indoors in root trainers, which are kind of long pots, long slim pots, because it's much better for their roots. And
I haven't done mine yet, but I will hopefully.
and did we talk about sowing hardy annuals outdoors?
We did, but briefly.
Briefly. Okay, hardy annuals are things like the ordinary English marigold and cornflowers and, oh, there's dozens of things.
Poached egg plants.
Poached egg plants, yes. Oh, and, oh, what are those lovely ones? Nigella, Love in a Mist. Yes, and all of those really common English garden plants that don't mind frost, basically. They'll survive if it's frosty. Obviously, anything tender we don't do until all danger of frost is past. Oh, and onion sets as well. Did we mention that?
Did we say onion sets? No, we didn't. And parsnips
As well as broad beans. And I always soak my beans before I put them in because it gets them off to a quicker start. Just soak them for about 24 hours. And those can go in the same bed as my early spuds. Okay.
A couple of other things. Oh, I forgot... On the list of things you can sow under cloches, there's things like carrots and beetroot can go in under cloches now, and rabbit. Rabbish?
Radish.
That's a cross between a radish and a cabbage. Radish and cabbage. And also, it's a good time of year for digging ponds. Again, because the soil isn't so claggy that a spadeful weighs a ton. But if you leave it until the dry weather... then when the soil's dry, it all keeps collapsing into the hole.
Ah, good thinking.
So this is a good time. If you do it a bit sharpish and get your liner in, get some water in. I mean, it's better to leave it to fill with rainwater because tap water's got chlorine and all sorts of nasties in it. But hopefully you'll have enough water in them for the frogs. Yes. I once had some frogs lay their spawn in a bit of water that was in a plastic bin liner that had been untidily left around the garden. None in the pond, just in this plastic bin liner. So I sort of tip it into the pond.
I had a bit in my front yard. You know where I live?
Yes.
Like up a really urban road.
You live in a hole.
in a hole in the ground, yes. and there was, mind you, I have rescued frogs from the cats a couple of times, so I do occasionally find a frog living in my, 8 foot by 4 foot front basement yard. and there was frog spawn in one of my plant saucers this time last year. It didn't come to anything. I don't think it had been fertilised. But
on Radio Reverb today, I was listening to the Paul Meck show, and he was playing all this music from New York from back in the late 1970s, mid-1970s, when punk music came from, and he was sort of showing about the roots of punk music, and he played one song which listed all these different New York bands, and one of them was called The Psychotic Frogs. And I looked them up on the internet, and they had these, kind of, they only made about 3 or 4 records, but they're all really rude and kind of offensive and completely impossible to play on Radio Reverb.
Oh no, got a mental image of half, a psychotic frog.
Half of it would have to be bleeped out, but I think it was all meant to be in good fun.
I learned how to paint frogs today.
Paint? Oh, how do you get them to stay still?
And they've got wet skin.
No, what way were you painting frogs?
With Chinese brush.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Look very good. I was very pleased.
Ooh. When you if you've got any spare ones, can we have one here for the studio?
Oh, mulch.
Oh, yes, mulch. Mulch.
I was going to say mulch.
Yes.
Is it a good time to mulch?
It's a very good time to mulch. Not when it's frosty, but on a nice mild day when the soil is moist.
Nice mild sunny day.
Yes, which we're getting a few of now because it's, certainly any frostiness will have melted by the time you get round to mulching. And I've actually used on my garden at home a couple of weeks ago now, I put down this stuff I got from my allotment shop, which is made from rotted sheep's manure. And it's very pleasant to handle. Yes,
I had
nice
a load of rotted sheep's manure once. A friend of ours used to run sheep on a little bit of ground up near Horsham, and we cleaned out her shed that they'd been overwintering in for years, and we had loads and loads of it. But we put it on an allotment which I've since vacated, so somebody else got the benefit. Oh, green manure, that.
Green manure, green manure, manure, so green manure. Anywhere, oh, yes, dig.
Dig in your last...
Yes.
Yes, because my Thessalia has survived the winter.
Good gracious, mine didn't.
I've got some that's about a foot high.
Oh,
and
that's
really
perfect
thriving.
Size to dig in, isn't it?
And then some that I sowed a bit later was about 3 inches high and looking sorry for itself, but...
Dig it in because you need to have this time of the year. You need to dig it in about a month before you sow, don't you, to give it time to rot down in the soil. But if you've cleared a bed that was weedy or something like that over the winter, you can sow things like mustard and phacelia now for a quick green manure crop, where you're going to be putting tender plants out in about mid-May. So you can leave it to grow for a couple of months and dig it in early May. And it, obviously, when the weather is warmer, it rots down faster. So,
and you could plant things into ground that's had the manure dug in. But if you want to sow seeds, you've got to wait.
Yes, yes, of course. Yes.
Can I just fit in a bit of news sent by the Harvest Button and Hove project, often on this show, with a joke. That in a slightly bit of mis sort of tight information here, but they've written in to tell us that that more urban spaces are now going to be able to be used for vegetable growing in Brighton and Hove.
Excellent.
As part of the Harvest Brighton and Hove project, one of their things is to get more bits of unused land. They say that there's going to be a growing patch in Wish Park in Hove, and also in Whitehawk. The residents of Henfield Close will be setting up their own allotment styles garden. Garden on their estates. But the joke was that they sort of say, as we enter our second growing season, the grow your own bug has clearly bitten hundreds of new gardeners in our city. I mean, surely growing your own bug is the last thing, that's in inverted commas, is the last thing you want, really.
No.
But however, anyway, it doesn't actually quite work, because when they say, you know, now is the time to grow your own bug, but it doesn't actually quite read like that. It says to grow your own bug has clearly bitten hundreds, but it's in inverted commas. Anyway, there are two things two events that we should mention, because they're both today. One is Pancake Day.
Oh, yes.
And the other is International Women's Day.
Yes. So, yes. And there is some sort of event, because it's 100 years of International Women's Day, isn't it? And there's some sort of event, and I think it might be at the Commedia. But I'm not absolutely certain. Somebody invited me to it, but I have a Tuesday evening art class, so I don't get out on Tuesday evenings other than that.
I'm doing nothing other than making pancakes tonight. I'm far too knackered from splitting all those perennials.
There is a thing at the Commedia, in fact, it says women... what is it called? Oops, hang on.
It is the Women's Day celebration
hang
there,
on.
Then.
Women Tellers for International Women's Day, Tuesday, 8th of March, 7:30. The information will come up. But let's talk about pancakes till then. Oh, here it is. Hang on. Women Tellers will delight you with tales true and bold, new and old, in celebration of the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day. Amanda Evans, both storyteller and narrator, physical theatre and spoken word maker, captures your mind, your spirit, and dances with you before you realise your feet have left the floor. So that is then tonight, 6 o'clock. You can get tickets at...
6 o'clock?
No, £6. 7:30.
Oh, right, yes. 7:30, I was going to say. 6 o'clock is nearly upon us.
No, 7:30, £6, tickets available at http://commedia.brighton.ticketsolve.com.
You probably turn up at the door and buy a ticket, though, I would imagine.
You can, yep. The door's open at 7 o'clock. So there you go. Pancakes. Mm. If you're going to make a pancake, I know a green way of making pancakes. If you use buckwheat flour, a thing called buckwheat flour.
That's the traditional French...
You're not allergic to it. Yes. A lot of people are.
Allergic?
Oh, really? Buckwheat, good gracious.
Yep. Buckwheat is apparently much more environmentally friendly than wheat. Because it can be grown in much more natural ways, apparently, and is much better for the environment generally. So
my soil doesn't like buckwheat, actually. Your buckwheat doesn't like my soil. I've tried to grow it as a green manure on numerous occasions, and it never thrives.
Right, interesting.
But I think it thrives all right on the clay. I think Helen grew a good crop of it one time on the bog plot, and it looked gorgeous, and the bees love it. But
anyway. That's very nice. It's time to go.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, no, terribly sorry.
Have we done everything?
I think so, just about. towel, clean your tools and oil them if you haven't done already.
Sorry, I'm sure that's my fault for kind of throwing in totally irrelevant things into the organic gardening tips with Mouse and Ruth from the Brighton & Hove Organic Gardening Group. Thank you both very much for
being on the Environment Show. And happy Pancake and International Women's Day.
Yes, everybody. Right, OK, now, the listeners may well not know that Mouse, in fact, had another career back in the late 90s with a band of the same name. There was a brilliant band in the 1990s called Mouse. It wasn't our Mouse. It was a different Mouse.
Yes.
In fact, it was Martha Tilston. And this is, I'm going to play out with a tiny bit of their brilliant song from the fabulous album called Mouse Tales, which really everybody should have. It's one of those things. This is Mouse.
Well, I'm a marsupial mouse. She's probably just an ordinary mouse.
Exactly, yes. Common or garden or house. This is Helicopter Trees. Thanks for listening. I'm Donald Shire.
You don't need to look at me like maybe I might run away, 'cause constant as a constant star, oh, how happy and permanent we are. And see, the sky is slightly jaded, all the sycamore leaves are spinning down from the helicopter tree. See, the sky is slightly jaded, all the sycamore leaves are just spinning down from the helicopter.